Hello, this is the Fakeologist speaking. You're listening to Master Fake Theater, where I present to you some of my favorite 9/11 centric audios. I've selected these audios based on the idea that they will help further your knowledge of the hoax that 9/11 was. While I can't endorse every thought in each audio, I do think they're worth your while. Please visit fakeologist.com to explore endless hours of 9/11 and media fakery research.
Welcome to the JohnLeBond.com 9/11 Serious Anniversary Spectacular. Master Fake Theatre.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
The first time that I did acid, we went to see The Matrix.
Shattering the grand illusion.
Open your eyes.
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something was actually strange.
Don't you understand at last what this place really is?
Fakeologist.com's Master Fake Theatre presents excerpts from the 9/11 Serious Anniversary Spectacular, hosted by John LeBond. If you would like to gain access to the full 6-plus hour show, as well as all the other great content produced by John LeBond, you can sign up at johnlebond.com for less than the price of a cup of coffee per week. And now, here's your host, John LeBond.
So this is the johnlebond.com 17th anniversary special of the horrible, horrible event that we call 9/11, where 3,000 innocent fictional characters came to a sudden end. Very sad stuff. So I've got with me a whole bunch of people from all around the world to discuss whether or not anybody died or got hurt, and a whole bunch of other related things. It should be a lot of fun. And we've also got one or two new people to the call as well, so we'll get to meet some new people as well. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get it started. And first of all, let's go around the world and find out who is joining us on this call today. So in alphabetical order, let's go out to Northern California, where we will find Chad 628.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
Chad is glad to be here, and that's all he has to say about that. All right, let's go out to Illinois, where we will find Nate.
Hi, everybody.
Nate, good to have you back. When was the last time you were on one of these member Skype calls? I can't really remember. Would have been a little while ago, I think.
About a month ago, maybe.
Time goes quickly. Time goes very quickly, my friend. Have you seen that the website has, it's changed a little bit, hasn't it?
Just
the last couple of weeks, it's been crazy.
A lot of new people. I like it.
A lot of new people. One of them is on the call right now. We're going to be asking some questions in a moment. But first, let's go out to New York. Dante from New York.
Howdy, everybody.
Dante, fresh off asking one of the best questions that's ever been asked on a member Discord call. which I converted into a video for the YouTube audience. And Dante, you are the talk of the town.
Besides you, who else is talking about me?
Just me, basically. But of course, a lot of people are saying that we're the same people. They're claiming that you and I are two versions of the same person.
Yes, some of those people might be on this very call.
Well, throwing a cat amongst the pigeons there, Dante. Let's see where this day. Let's go out to Chicago. Fung from Chicago, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Good to be here. How's everyone?
Excellent. And now our Eastern European correspondent, Hando, who is fresh off the first episode of a TV series that he is helping to produce in Estonia, where they talk about some of the topics that we're talking about today, Hando. Congratulations on the first episode, and how are you today?
Hello, everybody. I feel good. About the episode, I have some funny stuff to say about it. So, yeah, looking forward to the call.
Fantastic. Now, let's go out to Florida, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but you're coming to us from Florida.
Hey, JLB. Hey, everybody. I'm actually in Boston.
Boston? Why do I think Florida? How'd I get that so wrong? I got no idea. Well, it's good to have you back.
No worries.
Andrew from Boston, when was the last time you were on the call?
It's probably been a month and a half, 2 months. Yeah, something like that.
Wow, time goes quickly. But we'll talk about this more later in the call, but as someone who's been a member of the site for a while, what do you think about the last week or two where this website has, I can barely describe it.
It's extremely exciting, yeah. I think you did a great job of representing your work on the Higher Side Chat, and as a result, you've gotten some new faces and new names here, new voices, so I can't wait to meet everybody and welcome everybody to the site. And it's a great time to be part of JLB's site.
It is exciting, and you're quite right. We have been joined by a whole bunch of new people. We need to move on to 9/11. I would love it if the other participants in the call would just put their cards on the table, okay? You don't have to prove that your belief is correct. No one's going to attack you, but if you had to come up with the best inference or interpretation you can about 9/11 based on what you've seen so far, again, you don't have to prove it. No one's going to attack you, but just put your cards on the table. What do you believe happened on 9/11? And what do you believe was the purpose behind it? What is your current interpretation of that event? We don't have to go to Tommy because I've already asked him that question, and we don't have to go to Phil because he's answered the question and he's left the room as well, had to go and do some things. So let's go around the rest of the round table in a short, concise response. What do you think happened on 9/11? Do you think anybody died or got hurt? And what do you think was the purpose or the potential reason behind this event happening? Let's go to Chad in California. Chad, what's your take on 9/11 in a concise fashion?
Yeah, 9/11, I think, like probably most people do here, that it was a made-for-TV movie. I don't think there were planes. But I don't know if anybody got hurt or not. I'm open to the possibility, but I'm not as confident as you are in making that statement. And sometimes I wonder where that confidence comes from and how you can be so sure. And because it seems to be that nobody can really know one way or the other.
Excellent answer. Let's go out to Nate in Illinois. Nate, what is your take?
My take on 9/11 is there are so many things about it that are very suspicious or just don't make sense, contradictions, things like that, you know, cell phones working on the plane. There's tons of things that are suspicious and make it seem like it's planned. So I guess I thought that it was planned, and if it is planned, it makes a lot more sense that nobody died than if all these people planned it and killed 3,000 people. Like, it makes more sense that nobody died.
So if you think nobody died, what in your mind, do you have an idea of why they would have done it?
Sort of like what you say, that it's a Stargate. It's sort of like a religious, like a sort of like a ceremony. And it's sort of, I don't know, you know, like when I watched that Back to the Future predicts 9/11, and like thinking about how to explain that, Like, I don't think Robert Zemeckis was putting clues in Back to the Future. I think, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I guess it made me think, made me believe in the collective unconscious and that, I don't know. I got really crazy views now. So, like, your history hoax. So, like, if history only goes back 300 years, I think that if you have a linear sense of time, then there must have been an apocalypse 300 years ago, right, to erase everything. But if time isn't linear, then, you know. So my whole view of reality is kind of different now. And to explain 9/11, I think of it, yeah, like it's a ceremony to show people that care to look.
Fascinating. And remember too, Nate, a lot of the members of the website now, this will be their first introduction to you. And probably for some of them, this will be their first introduction to what you and I might call the ritual element or the mass initiation ritual element of 9/11, which I first was introduced to by the sync crowd or people who were influenced by the sync crowd. So I'm looking forward to the next 30 minutes. Let's first go to Fung from Chicago. Fung, 9/11, what happened and why?
I think I've actually discussed a little bit on a prior call that I actually lived in New York at the time, and I was actually walking to class. I was in school at the time when whatever hit the first plane, I guess, would be the narrative. But I remember there was like a dude who came into class all kind of like shook up because he actually saw like or heard something going overhead, and then he saw something what he described as like a passenger aircraft. So I don't think it was like whatever the cartoon shows us, but you know, I was actually there. So I'm definitely open to the idea that nobody died, nobody got hurt, but I still think that I'm keeping an open mind. Like I think something of that magnitude, I don't know. It's possible just like in war that people get hurt along the way. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm definitely interested in the ritual aspects and been kind of pondering those for a long time.
Very interesting. Let's go out to Eastern Europe, to our Eastern European correspondent, Hando, whose opinions are too controversial for European TV for the time being. We'll see what happens there. Hando, what happened on 9/11 and why?
I think the towers were built to be brought down. I think they were empty. I think probably nobody died because it was a big plan. They probably planned it for decades, so why kill anyone? However, I do not understand how they pulled it off, especially the collapse videos. I think they are faked. However, I do not understand how come we don't have the actual videos. I've heard stories about some electromagnetic pulse weapon that prevented cameras or, you know, prevented people from filming actual footage. So this part is very interesting to me. And if we talk about why they did it, years ago I thought they did it to justify the wars in the Middle East. Now, after being introduced to the sync idea, I think all cards are on the table. I wouldn't even rule out the idea that perhaps this has happened again. Let's say 300 years ago, I would even say that perhaps the guys who did it, they've done it before, almost like in the movie Groundhog Day. So I guess anything is on the table. I have no idea.
Excellent answer. I love it. Let's go out to Boston. Yes, Boston, not Florida, Boston. Andrew from Boston, 9/11. What happened and why?
So I'm on board with nobody died, nobody got hurt. And in terms of why, I would say that it's been planned. So kind of taking a step back, and this is venturing a little bit into speculation, but I'm also at this time on board with the idea of like the 300-year reset. So I think the controllers have, you know, like this round of civilization is clearly going towards technology, and as a result, I think it's essentially a spell that's being cast, and they plan for this all along. So it's just, you know, this was like a capstone event that had some occult significance, some ritual significance, and it all ties into sort of like a mind control on the population and pulling everybody into the fake reality created through like images from the media and so forth. But then it is interesting to see that there's always going to be a fraction of the population that sees it for what it is. And I'm like super intrigued by some of your new research into the Wizard of Oz concepts and stuff like that, JLB. So I do think that plays a big role in it. But that's kind of where I stand right now.
Excellent answer. This was terrific, that little roundtable section. Thank you to everyone for putting your cards on the table. So it looks like about a roughly 50-50 split, I think, between people who were saying that they believe that probably nobody died, nobody got hurt, and people who it seems to me, this is just my inference, are maybe a little bit more along the lines of JLB, why are you so confident of that? I think maybe people did die. Everybody on the panel, I want you to give us, if you're interested, your take on Osama bin Laden, planes and towers. In fact, I'll save us all the trouble. Let's do this right now. Everybody get ready to take us off mute. And remember, I'm quite happy to be the minority on my own website, okay? I've come around. In fact, I would prefer to be the minority on my own website. So if I say that Osama bin Laden is a fictional character, if you think he was real, that's totally cool. It's not a problem. Just be completely honest. If you're willing to answer the question, let's go around the round table and I'll give you three questions. One about OBL, one about the planes, and one about the towers. So we'll start off with Chad. You knew I was going to do this. Quick answer to the question, Osama bin Laden. And I don't mean to frame these questions as false dichotomies. I don't think it is a false dichotomy. I think this is a fair dichotomy. Was he real or was he fake? But if you don't even agree with the premise of the question or the framing of it, feel free to explain why. But if you get the basic gist of the question, just give us a simple real or fake. Chad 628 from California, Osama bin Laden, real character or fake boogeyman?
Fake boogeyman actor.
Let's go to Fung from Chicago. Fung, Osama bin Laden, real dude or fake boogeyman?
Fake boogeyman.
Hando from Estonia, real boogeyman or fake boogeyman?
That's an interesting one. My friend, a very good friend of mine, studied in Switzerland, and one of his classmates was also named bin Laden. And turns out he was the real Osama bin Laden was his nephew, or the other way around. So according to my friend, he knows this bin Laden character, who is related to this Osama bin Laden. And when my friend asked him about Osama, the other bin Laden said, it's a shame that Osama has painted a like a bad image of our family. This is pretty much all he said. Now, bear in mind, my friend is not a conspiracy theorist, or he's not really interested in this type of topic. So that's why he didn't, I guess that's why he didn't pursue him any further. However, I heard from my friend that this bin Laden is coming to Estonia later this year. So I plan to speak to this guy and then I might have more answers. But I think bin Laden, the way he was showed to us, is definitely a fictional character.
Okay, so Tommy from North Dakota, Osama bin Laden, a real dude or fake dude?
Fake dude.
And Andrew from Boston.
Fake, definitely.
All right, so it seems like we've got a fair uniformity of opinion on Osama bin Laden. Now we move on to a slightly tougher question, the planes going into the buildings. Forget Shanksville and the Pentagon, because if I even have to ask a question, we're in big trouble. So forget those ones. Let's focus on the planes going into the towers, real planes. And so let me frame this properly. What we were shown on TV, okay? So none of this, oh, well, maybe, because, you know, the moon landings, people are like, oh, the footage was fake, but they really went. And when I hear people say, oh, the planes on TV were fake, but maybe they were real planes, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's the same as saying to me, oh, the moon landing footage was faked, but they really went to the moon. What the hell are you talking about? It's harder to do it in real life than to fake it. What are you talking about? So let's just focus on the TV planes, real planes or cartoons, Chad from California.
Cartoons. Wile E. Coyote, I think he slammed into the building.
Context being the silhouette that Wile E. Coyote leaves behind when he goes into the same thing these planes did. Planes with aluminium wings leaving a silhouette just like Wile E. Coyote. And people believe that this is real. Goodness gracious me. Not that I'm trying to frame this question, but I guess I just did. But that's all right. Let's go out to Nate in Illinois. Nate, you didn't answer OBL. Can you answer for us the planes, real or fake?
Well, I think Osama bin Laden, yeah, he's just like a character. He's like a pro wrestler. But planes, I don't think it makes any sense why there would be any planes if it's a planned event. There's no need for it at all.
Okay, so we've got no planes. Yep, excellent. Let's go out to Chicago. Fung from Chicago. Planes, cartoons, or real planes?
Cartoons.
Hando from Estonia.
Cartoons.
Tommy from North Dakota.
No planes.
And Andrew from Boston.
No planes.
Okay, so once again, it turns out we all seem... See, and anyone who thinks that I'm being cheeky here, I'm not, okay? Because when we get to my final question in this series, you'll see that I'm probably on my own, okay? So I'm not trying to build up a group consensus here. But it is amazing to me that on these two questions, we all do seem to agree. So somehow people agree with me up until this point, and then I lose them when I give them my conclusion. So this is fascinating stuff. All right, now we get to one that's a lot tougher, the buildings. Were the buildings built to be brought down? And, of course, they were officially built in the late 60s, okay, the 1960s. The planning for them began decades before that, officially. So were these buildings built decades ahead of time to be brought down as part of 9/11? I think we might see some divergence of opinion on this one. Let's find out. Chad from California, are the buildings built to be brought down or not?
I have no evidence one way or the other. But if you said, Chad, if I were to give you a sum of money to force you to answer one way or the other, I would say I would agree that they were built to be brought down. I think it makes more sense.
When did you come, I don't mean to interrupt the flow of this, but just quickly, when did you come to that inference or that perspective?
Through your work.
And that's exactly why I asked. It's curious to know, because originally I wanted to change people's minds, right? When I first got into this years ago, that was my aim. Whereas the modern version of me, if what I'm saying is good and people change their minds, great. But now it's kind of like a take it or leave it thing. So that's interesting. So when you first encountered that idea, Chad, when you read me writing that, or you read an article, you heard me saying that these buildings were built to be brought down, what was your first response to that? Like, did you think I was being crazy, or like, what was your take?
No, I didn't think you were being crazy, because the whole thing is crazy. You know, the rational side of me says, how can they build such a huge building and not worry about their return on investment? Who funded it? You know, because obviously if all those floors are not leased, they're losing a crap load of money on their investment. But that's another interesting aspect of, you know, what are the financial aspects of the construction of those trade towers? That would be a very interesting story.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's like, suppose the guys at the top decided they wanted to build gigantic props for the biggest mass initiation event of recorded human history. And then one of them said, well, we've got a problem, though. How do we finance this? And then some guy at the other side of the table says, guys, have you forgotten? We print the money. Oh, yeah, no problemo. Going to be easy. If you're at the top, you run the money. Money's not an issue, is it? Someone controls the money. It's not me, it's not you, it's not anybody on this call, but somebody does control the money, okay? And we all imagine there's some bank somewhere with all this gold bullion and that our money is somehow has any relationship with physical reality. We all imagine that, but our bank accounts are all digital. Most of us do our shopping with cards. There's no actual currency even changing hands, let alone gold or any other physical thing. It's all digital. But we all just assume that there's some physical backing to what we're doing. But no, there's just as someone programmed the Discord server and there's someone responsible for running the Discord website, there must be someone responsible for the money. And this idea that they couldn't just go, how much money do you need? Done. I mean, it's crazy to me. It's like if you're playing Monopoly, you know there's a banker. Okay, now the rules are the banker just sits there. Great. But
At any time, if you wanted to, the banker could just hand out notes. Why do people not see that this thing that we call money is the exact same? If you control the money, money is no object. To me, this is so obvious.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just not in the world that I live in. Can I just snap my fingers and, you know, have billions of dollars at my disposal? So it's hard to, you know, I have no purview into that world where people can do that. So it's, you know, I sort of need to see how all that works to really understand it.
I don't think you'll ever get to see it. But let's go on, because I thought the flow was good before. Thank you for answering the question, Chad. That's very interesting. Now let's go to Nate in Illinois. The buildings built to be brought down or negative?
Yeah, there were props built to be down.
And was that already your perspective before you started engaging with my work, or did my work expose you to those ideas?
It was your video, how many people really died on 9/11, and it made me realize that if it was a planned event, it made so much more sense that nobody died.
Excellent. Cool. Thank you for the answer. No, thanks for that. I've got one more, so stay tuned. Fung, the buildings, 110 stories times two, plus a whole bunch of other smaller but still significant buildings, they came down to the ground on one day. Were they built to come down?
I would say that now. And even listening to you speak with Dante, it occurred to me that however they were built, it was almost like a magician building a prop for a trick. You know, like it's not what it purports to be in reality. It's meant for a purpose, to pull off a trick.
Exactly, like a giant prop in a movie, isn't it? You know, you can watch a film on TV and the action figure, he jumps out of the car just before it explodes. Kaboom! And it's like, yeah, that car, the role of that car in that scene was to be in front of a camera and a whole bunch of technicians and boom mic operators and God knows how many pyrotechnicians, a lot of people whose job is to make this car explode. That's its job in this thing that's being filmed, okay? It's a prop. The car is a prop. You can build props whose entire job is to be destroyed. That's its whole job. And I believe that's exactly what the buildings on 9/11 clearly were. But it wasn't always so clear to me. Now let's go out to Hando in Estonia. Hando, the buildings, built to be brought down, or real buildings that were just chosen as a target for some reason?
Definitely built to be brought down, and I believe they were hollow. They had few floors, but basically they were hollow, in my opinion.
Okay, and how long has that been your perspective on the matter?
Since 2011, it's around the time I first saw September Clues, and around, so pretty long.
Wow, see, I'm telling you, man, these Estonians are ahead of the curve, right? Forget Chiang Mai, I've got to get myself to Tallinn. I've got to do it. That's the Mecca. We'll go to Tommy in North Dakota. Tommy, buildings. And again, I can't stress this enough, especially for you guys who are newer to the site. Do not feel, like, please do not feel as though you have to give any answer that is not straight from the heart. The buildings on 9/11, what do you think was happening there? Were they built to be brought down?
I'm going to have to go with, I haven't actually read or seen any of your info on 9/11, but how you pose the question, I got to go built to be brought down. Had never really thought of it that way, but from what I've seen and looking at that angle, that's what I'm going to go with.
Well, I hope that if you decide to go and engage with the, because I've put out tons of material on this and other people have as well. I'm definitely not the first. If you decide, actually, no, the buildings were not built to be brought down, I would hope that you would come to us and you'd give us your reasons why. And yeah, I mean, it's very important that I encourage people, hey, come and disagree with me. There's people on my website who've been here for 2 years who still believe in flat earth. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm cool with it. I've made peace with it. Or at least I'm trying my best. So no one has to agree with my perspective on this website. And when I tell you what I think 9/11 really was, even some of my long-term supporters are going to think that I'm just joking or doing a thought experiment. And that's cool. That's cool. No one has to agree. So let's go out to Andrew in Boston. The buildings built to be brought down, or were they selected post facto? Oh, these buildings will do. We need to pull off a gigantic event that's going to go reverberate around the world, change everything for so many people in so many ways. But gosh darn it, we need somewhere. Oh, there's just two gigantic buildings in Manhattan. Let's choose them. Oh, yeah, cool. Let's do that.
Right. Definitely, they were built to be brought down. And, you know, what replaced them was also part, you know, part of that ritual, part of the spell that was cast.
Okay, this isn't where I was hoping there'd be more disagreement. We should have asked about the missile. Then we could have really established just how much of a minority I am on my own website, but that's okay because I've got another question coming up next. So we've already sort of touched on the did people die or get hurt element of things. A lot of people say that 9/11 was used to justify war in the Middle East. We're going to go and get Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan or Pakistan. We're going to go and get Saddam Hussein in Iraq, okay? So 9/11 was justified or was used to justify war in the Middle East. And then some people say it was because they really wanted to catch the boogeyman. Obviously, none of us believe that because apparently none of us believe that there was such a boogeyman. Oh, no, no, it was a false flag to go and capture oil. Yes, we had to go and capture the oil, you see. So now my question is, do you believe that there was a war in the Middle East subsequent to September 11? And for the I won't stress this anymore. I won't belabor the point. But please, guys, you want to disagree, go right ahead. It's if anything, at this point in the line of questioning, we need someone to disagree with us, or otherwise it's kind of all scripted. But I can promise you it was. Let's go to Chad in California. Chad, did a war happen in the Middle East following 9/11?
Something happened, but nowhere near as what it was portrayed. I mean, nothing even close. But something happened over there. I don't know what it was, but it was nothing. There was no mass bombings or mass killings or mass conflict. And why our politicians use 9/11, you know, as a tool to get the American population to support the quote war, whatever you want to call it, is baffling to me.
But Chad, I saw footage of Baghdad being bombed. Hmm?
Well,
they couldn't fake that, could they?
Oh, they sure could.
Really? They can fake stuff on TV?
They can fake it every day.
What? CNN? You're telling me CNN is in on this? What?
No. Yeah.
No, no way.
I'm totally on board with the war hoax. But it is funny how they're trying to convince us, A, that we need to go to war, and B, that there was a war. It's so strange.
Yes. Well, I could talk about this all day. In fact, I kind of am because I've got another call coming later tonight. But we do have to wrap it up. So let's try and just race through this as quick as we can. Nate from Illinois. Regardless of what 9/11 was or how it was done, was it used to justify a real war with two sides shooting at each other, trying to kill each other in real life, not just on TV? Did that happen after 9/11?
No. I agree with what Dave J said the other day, that war is just like a show. There's no such thing as combat, but there's, you know, all that other stuff they do, but not actual combat.
Oh, but Nate, don't you know that Saddam Hussein, he went rogue. Yeah, he went rogue. He was going to sell his oil in euros, bro. Haven't you heard this? So the Americans had to take him out.
That's what I used to believe, too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. All right, let's go to Fung. Was there a war in the Middle East following September 11?
No, no war.
This whole being a minority on my own website thing isn't working out the way planned. Let's go to Eastern Europe. Hando, was there a war in the Middle East following 9/11?
Probably not. No.
Okay, all right. Then maybe TK can save the day. I think he might have walked away from his computer, so might not be able to answer. If he comes off mute, we'll go to him. Let's instead go to Andrew in Boston. Andrew, you've got to save the day for us, mate. Tell us that you believe that men were sent to shoot at each other and bomb each other and drop bombs on Baghdad. Tell us that at least the war was real. God damn it.
Well, as much shock and awe as I experienced back in the day, I've come to my senses, and I'm going to have to say that no, there was no war conflict in the way that popularly thought of.
Okay, all right. So we've got ourselves a problem here then, because seems like we're all pretty much on the same page with all of these key premises. Now, I know that some of you still think people died or got hurt on 9/11. And let me tell you, if I thought people died or got hurt, then my views on 9/11 and the whole world would be very different, okay? And I would talk about the whole thing differently. But based on what I've seen, I don't believe anyone died or got hurt, okay? Now, for the sake of argument, taking the four premises that we've all just agreed with, okay, Bin Laden, fake character, planes, fake, towers built to be brought down, the preceding war was also fake. So we're all on that. We're all pretty much on the same page there. Now, for the sake of argument, if you were to learn that no one did die or got hurt, or you saw enough compelling evidence, or you came to the conclusion one might no one died or got hurt, then would you see 9/11 as a bad thing, good thing, or no opinion? What would your take on it be? This is where I'm expecting quite seriously to get some divergence, and that's totally sweet. Let's go to Chad in California. I'll rephrase the question because it's a tough one. Assuming that there were no Bin Laden, no planes, for the sake of argument, this is a hypothetical, no Bin Laden, no planes, towers built to be brought down, i.e. props, no one died, no one got hurt, no war following the event, then 9/11, good, bad, nothing, what would your take be?
I would, you know, it was a mass deception that did a lot of psychological harm to a lot of people. So, you know, I'm not so convinced it was just some harmless prank.
That's a very fair answer. Thank you for that answer. Good. Let's go to Fung in Chicago. I won't restate the question because it's a long one. You get what I'm trying to say. What would your take be?
I think when you sort of list it like that, my reaction is that it's positive.
Interesting. Hando from Estonia, what's your take on this one?
A few years ago, I mentioned in an local interview that I think the event 9/11 is a good thing.
Wow, this is not going the way I expected. And to be honest, I am kind of happy, but I would have been happy if people did take the opposing view. Maybe Andrew from Boston could do that for us. TK, I think, has had to walk away from the computer. So, Andrew, you're next on the list. What's your opinion on this one?
I don't think it was a good thing. I think the deception in general, I don't think the means justify the ends for the most part when it comes to deception. And I would overall say that there could be positive byproducts of the event, but on the whole, not a good thing.
Not a good thing because it involved deception?
Yeah, and it ultimately is driving agendas that do not have the best interest of humans, you know.
Like what?
For example, limiting of essentially the control grid being put on us tighter over time. Even stupid things like having to go through the scanners at the airports and everybody living under fear, and then, you know, there's a lot of negative side effects.
So in other words, if they're using 9/11, so even if no one died or got hurt and it was not directly harmful, if they're using it to justify making airport security more tight and making us go through these stupid body scanners and these sorts of things, then the event's bad because of that, is kind of what you're saying.
Well, that's the tip of the iceberg. So I think the repercussions are actually way, way deeper. And it's like catapulting us into their dystopian nightmare scenario that they're trying to create. Personally, it's kind of what it seems like to me.
Very interesting. Well, I think what we've done today is we've set up the basis for future calls. And thankfully, both Chad and Truth34, Andrew, had different opinions to myself and apparently to Hando and some other people as well. So this is good. We found a place where we disagree. My take is, if it wasn't for 9/11, I wouldn't be having this conversation with any of you guys right now. I would never have met any of you online or in real life. It was because of 9/11 that so many people started questioning what they thought they knew. And then thanks to, for me personally, websites like Fakeologist, where 9/11 is like their main thing, that gave me a place to discuss different ideas with different people. And fast forward a few years and here I am. And I now have a very esoteric understanding of 9/11. And so in my direct life, there's a benefit thanks to 9/11. I'm talking with you guys. We're doing this call. I've got this website. This is all largely dependent on 9/11. That's the fact of the matter. So in a direct way, there's benefits to me. But then in what I would call an esoteric or an occultistic, occult sort of understanding of the world, I've also derived benefits that I just don't have time to describe in this call, but I've released Transcending 9/11. I've released the first three parts of that series to members of the website. I'll complete that the rest of that series once the Dino Skeptic film is released. And I actually see 9/11 now in my life, just in my life, okay? Not in the life of anyone listening to this right now, not in the world, but just in my life, 9/11 has actually been a fantastic thing, a terrific thing for me, assuming no one died or got hurt. If someone did die or get hurt, that changes everything because I don't think murdering people is okay, personally, and most of us agree with that. But I don't believe people did die or get hurt, so I guess that's why that whole conversation is so important, and we'll pick that conversation up at some point in the future, I hope. Alrighty, so we've looked at the planes, we've looked at the what's behind the planes, we've looked at the buildings, we've looked at Osama bin Laden. Now we move on to this is where we start getting to the heart of the matter. Did anybody die or get hurt? So have we been rejoined by Knightley from Central Queensland?
Oh yeah, I'm here. I'm quite open to the possibility of people dying. I know that by their own records that there wasn't a lot of actual evidence. It's just people had disappeared. And they talk about, you know, people being identified by a bone fragment the size of a thumbnail, what have you. I like to hope that nobody got killed. But with these baby hoaxes and stuff that were going on, I'd sort of turned into an auto hoaxer where just about anything that came on the news, I'd say, that's got to be crap. No one got hit there. And then when the Las Vegas attack happened, which at the beginning of it, it had all the hallmarks of being another, Vic Sim type arrangement. But with the backlash that happened, I sort of had to ask myself, well, why wouldn't somebody get killed? Like, you know, there's to go to all that trouble for not really the forces of good or for good reasons, then I don't think that that there has to be no victims. I think that there's every possibility. Been in and out on the jumpers as being a possibility, and
we'll jump to the jumpers. That's a very good point, actually. That should be. See, I'm now refining my structure to these questions. So I'm glad you bring that up. We'll come back to the jumpers in a moment. But first, I have to share with you because look, I'm happy to change my mind when new evidence comes to light. Okay, and you have to have that attitude of even if you're wrong about something, if the evidence goes against you, you have to be open about that. And I happen to have found some video, because obviously I used to say that no one died, no one got hurt, but I found some video footage of someone who saw the event live. And his testimony, I have to say, is very compelling. You see, he saw the entire thing from beginning to end.
I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
He was approximately 5 blocks away with his roommate when he saw this plane come out of
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit.
When he saw this plane come out of nowhere and ream straight through the building, exploding through the other side.
I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side.
And then, of course, I saw both towers collapse. One first and then the second.
And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second.
Mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
Mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
And so because of his testimony, I have to say, maybe people did die and get hurt, Knightley, what tell you?
Yeah, well, isn't that guy a lot of fun? It's every now and then you get a little strawberry like that that makes all this investigation worthwhile, right? But, I can't say that
Knightley, I still giggle like a schoolgirl half of the time I try and do Harley Guy, right? Half the time I get it out and I'm proud of myself. I'm like, I did it. Half the time, no, I break down giggling like a schoolgirl. After all of these years, he continues to deliver the lols.
Yeah, and then the laughter stops when the person that you're showing it to says, no, that's a real deal, mate. That's a guy.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because we were talking about that in Block A. It's like we've all got this experience, whether it's 9/11 or something else, where we have something that to us is absolutely absurd, and we show it to someone we care about, someone who we respect intellectually oftentimes, and we're like, see, don't you see that, like, this is silly? And then they look at you, and they've got that look in their eyes, and you're like, oh, no, this person thinks I'm crazy. So there's two, like, it hits you, it's like a left-right combo. The left punch is that they don't see what you see, but you're sure that a smart person will see it. And then the right straight that gets you straight afterwards is, oh, and by the way, you're crazy now for even trying to introduce this to them. So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah. I did a lot of work on that, actually, trying to find what the magic is, how it works in that realm of belief. But there was a video that I had that everybody got. It was like, it was 100%. I showed it to everybody. They'd even pointed out things in it that I hadn't seen before. And I thought, why is it? Why is it this video, but they don't get the next one, you know? So I did a bit of a project where I do a PowerPoint presentation using this video to sort of show them how bias sort of, you know, works. And,
you know, it'd be interesting if we could somehow, I mean, we can't, but it'd be interesting if there was some way to do this, to tally up the amount of man hours that everybody who ever listens to this call have collectively spent with their friends and family and colleagues sharing videos on phones or tablets or computers or PowerPoint presentations or on the lounge room television in their house or wherever they might be. How much time have we collectively spent trying to share with people around us stuff that we think is like proof positive that something is fishy, only to have them turn around and look at us like, oh, great, my friend's a crazy person. And they're like, well, no, you don't understand. I used to think this was crazy too, but just look at this guy. And they're looking at you and it's like, do I keep digging or do I just drop it or?
Yeah, well, I thought about it that, you know, the only way they could get to where I am is if they'd gone through all the information that I'd been through. So I used to try and have a string of, so first I looked at this video and blah, 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 and then this video and then this video. You know, it just ended up being, wow, there's no way you can drag them through any of it. You know, it's like, what did I come up with the other day? It's sort of like, you know, some mad professor or something saying, step into the machine and well, hook up the monkey. You won't feel a thing, you know. Like, we're going, right, yeah, which way's the door?
And that's how they look at you. They look at you like you're trying to do something to them. And I guess in a way you kind of are. Like whether you mean to or not, you're effectively trying to take away their existing paradigm. And I guess in a way they have every right to be defensive of their paradigm because, you know, humans need one. So who are you to take that away, I guess? And who was I to try and take it away from people? I mean, I can give you an example. I had a movie night at my house a few years ago, and what we did was we played the film Capricorn 1, right? Some of the people in the room had never seen Capricorn 1. And, of course, this is the film from, I think, like 1979 or something where it's from the 70s, I think, where they fake the Mars landing. But the way the film is shot, the Mars landing is identical to the moon landing, okay? It's not that hard to see what they're saying, what they're doing here. And then I asked some of my guests, what do you think of the film? They loved it. They thought it was great. And then I said, well, I've got your attention. Can I just show you something? And then I scrolled back to that part of the film with the landing that looks just like the moon landing. And then I showed them the footage of the official moon landing. And of course, they looked the same. And I said to him, so what do you think about the similarities here? And yeah, just, I can't even really describe how they responded. It wasn't like bad or angry or anything. It was more like the wind had been taken out of their sails. You know, they didn't have anything to say.
Yeah. Well, all these little bits of information along the way to finding out that film would be, I haven't seen that film, by the way, but people have used it on me to sort of say, yeah, go watch that if you want to talk about fake moon landings. There's a movie for you to go be over there. So I'd like to see it. But, you know, you can't have all the biases that you've got, all the little bits of information. They've all added up and filled up the bucket that ended up tipping the balance of evidence over in what we see, you know, in whatever it is we're talking about. And that's what I tried to do with this little sort of PowerPoint presentation using this footage of this air crash. And what I was getting at was we just look through these photographs after having firstly showed them the footage of the plane crashing, because with that plane crash, they've actually got footage from a lucky bystander that filmed the whole thing, and the footage from the tower. And it's clearly fake footage, you know, if you're already saturated. But you can use that footage to sort of fill up their bucket at the first instance. You know, they'd be looking at you like, so what are you going to try and say now that the plane didn't crash? We just watched it crash. And then use the Wikipedia page and sort of really dope them up on the fake information, and then just to start going through photographs one by one, and tell them that their reaction is going to be to try and come up with a reason for why that photograph fits what they'd just been subjected to with the footage of the crash.
Well, let me tell you, Capricorn 1, I can't recommend it highly enough. And it's one of these films that it leads me to say to people, okay, if you believe that the truth is being hidden from us, if you believe that people are supposed to be kept in the dark, how do you explain this film being released? Okay, they're putting it right in front of you. And then people like me, Nightly News, and you as well with your PowerPoint presentation, people like us, we come along and we try and share it with others, okay? It's like, look at this. And the masses, the great mass of humans alive today, who I sometimes affectionately refer to as Epsies or Lemmings or Normies, even when it's shown to them by someone they care about, supposedly, they still can't see, they won't see. Where do we get this idea that it's the people at the top who are stopping the people at the bottom from seeing? Where do we get that idea from? It seems to me like it's the people at the bottom who will not see. They do not have eyes to see. Can you see where I'm going with this? It's like, hold on. You're not going to get a better way to thematically explore the concept of the moon landings being fake than the film Capricorn 1, where they quite seriously show the same footage. They just make it red, okay? So they're modeling the Mars landing on the moon landing, okay? They've clearly set the shot up to look just like the moon landing, but red. And they even have, I think, like O.J. Simpson and whoever else, like walking down the Mars lander, okay, to look just like the moon lander. So that they couldn't, short of having the president of the United States get in front of the public and say it was fake, short of that, they can't be too much more blatant than they've been. And it's clearly not blatant enough for the masses. So rather than focusing on the people at the top and how deceptive they are, why don't we spend some time looking at just how willfully ignorant the masses are, if you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Their biases are set up that way. We're looking at the exact same photograph, the exact same movie, and you know, from a different bias, which is why it's sort of it's fun if you can get somebody to go through a group of photographs until their little buckets fill up and the point of balance tips over, then that point of balance, that one thing, and you don't know what it's going to be, but that thing is the thing that we think of as the smoking gun, right? Oh, that's the smoking gun. That proves that it didn't happen or what have you. But that point of balance is different for everybody because of the different biases that we have.
I completely agree with you about the biases element.
While you're on Capricorn 1, do you want me to read the tagline for that's on the poster?
Please do.
Would you be shocked to find out that the greatest moment of our recent history may not have happened at all?
Excellent.
Which could apply to so many things, couldn't it?
That's great, by the way. I didn't even realize that was a tagline. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. That's perfect. Well, it's a shame that Lester Needham is no longer as active as they once were, because it was Lester's work on Stephen Hawking that was very helpful for me to understand what Lester calls the liar system. And what he did was he showed that some mainstream footage of Stephen Hawking, you only ever saw either Stephen Hawking from the front angle or his screen separately, you never saw evidence that the sound that was being made by Stephen Hawking. And so what Lester was pointing out was that you could literally have any person, regardless of the mechanism by which Stephen Hawking supposedly is making these sounds, whether it's his cheek or his eyes or whatever, it wouldn't matter. You could literally have anybody anywhere typing in the sounds that we hear, right? It's all. So what Lester was pointing out was that this is all just another form of stagecraft, the same as the action hero driving the car, veering left, veering right, dodging all the bodies and the trash cans on the street. Same thing, clever editing creates an illusion that we just go with. Same thing with Stephen Hawking. And I guess that was very helpful for me to get my head around the Stephen Hawking hoax, and then also to get my head around just the effectiveness of stagecraft and film production techniques. They can even have us believe that Stephen Hawking was, you know, was saying these great intelligent things. It's funny, I'm more than happy, although I am trying to get better. Instead of using the word retard, I'm trying to use the word epsies to describe the lemming masses. So I happily call them retards, but then when it comes to people like Stephen Hawking, I don't know what word to use anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think vegetable's pretty accurate.
Yeah, but supposedly, you know, they don't use that one anymore either. I heard that somewhere. Yeah, apparently.
Oh, really?
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, that went out when I was a kid.
So we don't even know what we're just handicapped or whatever. So it's like, but then of course to me it's like, well, this shouldn't be offensive at all, because I'm saying that guy was fake from the get go. Like, I don't know who Stephen Hawking is. I'm just saying that this is a ridiculous that he people was, you know, supposedly he was putting out a book every 2 years or something. You know, it's hard enough.
Yeah, yeah, that's the power of the situation is the ability to push them books out.
Yeah, and then I can see some people.
My key kids are.
Some people look at the aspect of, were they using a real person with a real degenerative condition who was sort of stuck in that body to use him as the prop human for the Stephen Hawking character?
Yeah, well, what's he gonna do if they were shit his pants or something? You know, there's nothing he could have done.
Well, if you look at the footage of him on the, you know how they have that mock. Sort of space environment where you go on a plane and it drops, so it's kind of like floating in space.
Oh, the parabolic flights.
That's right. Yeah, they've got one of those where he's on it. I know it sounds silly, but just look at the footage, and whoever that person is, he looks to me like he's having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
I took a ride on zero G.
Yeah, but didn't they have the bikini model there too?
Yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, I think they did, yeah.
Well, I would have been having a good time too.
It's funny what our brains remember. Well, guys, I tell you what, it is time to wrap up this call, so...
Good night, John.
Well, goodbye, goodbye.
Fake Stephen.
Yeah, ghost of... I tell you what, because we're still working on...
I think we'll be hearing more from that guy.
We're still working on the technology and getting this working. I can see this show quickly becoming. Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the teething problems right now. But I think we're on our way to something special here with these soundboards. But it is time to wrap it up, so I'll give you both a chance for your final thoughts. Before I do, I've got to read out the people who are making this call possible. So just bear with me here. And it is absolutely no exaggeration to say that thanks to these, you know what we should do? We should get the ghost of Stephen Hawking to read these people out. There you go. Get the ghost of Stephen Hawking to read out the first three for us. Ghost of Stephen Hawking. Who are the foundation members of johnlebon.com?
Adam Adrian, C. Agent, Frappier, Alpha, Xome, Gamma, Abbott, Psy, Archer, Bandon, 13, BM, Seagull, Big, Dave, Cad, 628, Chaos, Main, 77, CM, Curious, George, Curryman, 11, Cynical, Optimist, D. User, Dant, From, NYDJ, Mo, 1987, DNA, Frederick, Boo, French, Bulldab, Harry, LH, Dog, Illinois, Boy, 77, Jacobius, Rex, Jimmy, Schooler, Clink, 39, Night, News, Local, Chump, Mardipant, Smash, Mez, Mom, Wilson's, Mongo, Emrat, Kalsk, Nate, M, Nodosphere, Negent, Tropic, Philip, DJG, Pono, Q, Rebel, Rico, Salzburg, Gold, Spiro, Stanson, The Prophet, 49, They Are Laughing At Us, Dicky Limited, T, King, 3, Todd, P, Tom, Fuller, Truth, 34, Truth, Grasshopper, Velocit, Vinny, 777, Waps, The Sport, Who Knows.
That was only slightly more painful than listening to me. I think we could be onto something here. And then, of course...
You forgot about copy-paste, didn't you?
And then, of course, the super agents, Alistair Kane, Fong, Waterman, Chris, JPC, and Hando. And of course, like I was saying, it's no exaggeration. Those people are making these calls possible. And thanks to them, I do believe it's only a matter of time until I take this thing full time. And that means more podcasts, more articles, more videos, and of course, more member Discord calls. And it's going to be fantastic. So a huge thanks once again to all of those people, many of whom took part in the calls, the two calls that we had today. And it's been a lot of fun. So if you're not already a member of johnlebon.com, head along to johnlebon.com and find out what you get in return for a couple of dollars every week. We need some music to play out with. And going forward, Velocet's going to have complete creative control of all of these elements of the show. But I guess for one last time, I wouldn't mind throwing in my idea of what we should be using as our leaving music. So let me see if I can bring this up right now. Just bear with me here. So, see, when I think of the word hyper, I think of the 80s, I think of retro, and it just so happens that one of the members who've signed up to the website in the past week, when we've had this massive influx of people from the High Side Chats, one of them happens to be a musician. So what better time to share the love and to spread each other's work than to play this track from Jacobius Rex, the new member of johnlebon.com. He's into a type of music that I call synthwave, and I'm sure he'll join us on a future call to tell us more about his music. But yeah, this particular track is called Yours. It's by Jacobius Rex, and maybe we can encourage Jacobius to mix a new song for us called The Hyper Skeptic, because it sounds like that's exactly what we are here at johnlebon.com. Thanks again to everyone for being involved, and until next time, you guys, take care of yourselves. So this is the johnlebon.com Trivia Hour of Power, and today in the hot seat we've got nightly news from Central Queensland. Nightly, are you feeling ready for some hour of power trivia time?
Yes. Good evening. This is Nightly News.
Alrighty, and let's get straight into the action. Fun and games, fun and prizes for the winner, but some very tough trivia questions. Nightly News, do you consider yourself a bit of a trivia buff?
No, not really, but I'll have a crack.
Well, we're about to find out. On to question number one. In what year was the first Apollo mission that landed on the moon?
Buzzer in 1967.
And we've got a poor start for Nightly News on negative one to begin the show. They rarely come back from here. No, the correct answer was 1969. Yes, 1969, but that's okay. Follow-up question, question B. On what year was the last year that an Apollo mission landed on the moon? This time we'll give you a multiple choice option. A, 1970. B, 1971. C, 1972. Or D, 1973.
A, 1972.
Hey, ding, ding, ding. Alrighty, so he's back on neutral. Very nice. Alright, and the final question to decide that if you finish the day in the positive or the negative, who was the second man to walk on the moon?
Buzz Aldrin.
What wrong one?
And we have a winner.
No one's
a winner here on the John Power Trivia Time. Nightly News, you have won your choice of any of the following three gift bags.
Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Master Fake Theater. For more information on this and other audios, please go to Fakeologist.com. If you like this production, please encourage Fakeologist and send a small monthly donation of just $1.19 a month to Fakeologist on PayPal. Thank you, and tune in again for another edition of Master Fake Theater.